We're talking about a very, very important question in the world of Machshava. I want to provide the background a little bit for us to be able to appreciate what we're doing. This week we're not going to be speaking about Tzfas Emes. Next week we'll be speaking about Tzfas Emes in the Halach. But I want to provide a little bit of context. Undoubtedly, Klal Yisrael's Shibud in Mitzrayim and the eventual Yitzias Mitzrayim is something which is incredibly, incredibly fundamental and for our religious life. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And when the Ribono Shel Olam reveals himself and Maimed Har Sinai in the Aseres HaDibros and introduces in a certain sense himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha, God identifies himself as the one who took us out of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When the Ribono Shel Olam speaks to Avram Avinu and describes to Avram Avinu what's going to happen to his descendants, so there's a description as far as Avram is going to eventually happen before they come back to Eretz Yisrael, before they really get to homeland permanently. They're going to be going down to a land which is not theirs. They're going to be slaves. It's something which Ribono Shel Olam, again, it seems to be incredibly important. So many mitzvos that we fulfill. Shabbos, as we spoke about the last couple of weeks, is just one of them. So many mitzvos that we fulfill are mitzvos that are a zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. We do so many mitzvos to remember the importance of, to remember what happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim. That the Ribono Shel Olam took us out. It is for the Ramban and Parshas Bo, incredibly, incredibly fundamental as far as our emunah. God didn't just create the world. God is still involved in the world. And for many, for the Kuzari, it's also a fundamental basis of our emunah, what happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in these parshios that we're in Parshas Shmos, where Klal Yisrael originally is in the Shibud, in Parshas Vayera, when the Ribono Shel Olam tells us, the Lashonos HaGeula, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, that were going to be taken out of Mitzrayim, in Parshas Bo, again, Vayera and Bo, with all of the Makos, finally Parshas B'Shalach, and we're finally sent out. But Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's really going on, undoubtedly, undoubtedly, seems to be something that's incredibly, incredibly important. For many Bali Machshava, again, it's a source of emunah. For many Bali Machshava, it's what motivates so many, so many of the mitzvos that we perform. It's what's behind it. So what's going on with Yitzias Mitzrayim? In order to appreciate what it all means, why it's so critical, we have to start from one step earlier. Why were we there in the first place? What was the purpose of the Shibud in Mitzrayim? Why did it have to be that we were going to be slaves in Egypt? Was it we deserved it? Was it for some other reason? On the one hand, when you look in Chumash, it's so wild. Chumash describes at length, again, the impact of Yitzhak. The life of Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim and Moshe's attempt to get them out. But it never says in Chumash, why? Why are we there in the first place? What's the purpose of that Shibud? Not only that, but it seems to have been years in the making. The Ribono Shel Olam describes to Avraham Avinu what's going to happen. Yadoa Teda, no! This is what's going to occur. And the question becomes, what's it really all about? Why is there Galus Mitzrayim? And if we understand better why there's Galus Mitzrayim, we'll understand better the power of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And if we understand Yitzias Mitzrayim, we'll understand better for so many Bali Machshava what Emunah is all about. Understand better what's behind so many mitzvahs, like Tefillin, like Shabbos, that are tied to, that are connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what we want to do today is to just develop ideas, hopefully that can be significant in Shmos, Vayera, Bo, in these parashios. But hopefully also to be able to discuss a little bit a variety of important insights that are going to be, again, critical going forward. Set the stage a little bit for what's going on also in our Gullus a bit. And again, hopefully we can be able to do a good job. I told a couple people yesterday I had started preparing this. And like, you know, you're feeling okay. Things come together a little bit. There's an amazing website, Al HaTorah, alhatorah.org. I've had people ever check it out. Amazing. So you're like, you know, you think you're in a great place, and you see it, and like, there's amazing. There's the makoros that are there organized nicely. So some of what we're going to suggest, some of the makoros we have here are found there. And I, you know, some of them are, again, are more well-known, and some of the ones as we go further on that relate to you know, Chabad, Hasidus, and Yor Chaim, and things like that are not as present there. But again, a lot of fantastic things there. First Mahalach. We're going to have probably about, depending on how you want to count, it could be up to 6 explanations for why Klai Yisrael is a Mitzrayim and what's really going on. The first general Mahalach, of which there are lots of different nuances. We are in Mitzrayim because of... It is an onesh. It's a punishment. Klai Yisrael is being punished. That is why they are slaves in Mitzrayim. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just considered to be a punishment. The question is, though, and we'll see, we're going to raise questions in Machshava that will emerge from here. Who messed up? Who messed up? We know who's being punished. Klal Yisrael is being punished, but who sinned? Who sinned? So if you look at Rashi in Perek Beis Pasuk Yedaleh, "Vayomer Achei Noda Hadavar." Moshe says, "Achei Noda Hadavar." Says Rashi, "Umidrasho Noda Li Hadavar Sheyisi Tamalav." I now know what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu has an interaction with two Jews. He sees two Jews who are fighting. Moshe gets involved in what's going on, and the Jews say to him, "Mi samcha l'is, sar v'shofet, why are you in charge of us? What, halahar geniata omer? You want to kill me like you did the Mitzri?" And Moshe says, "Achein no de hadavar." What does Moshe now know after that very unpleasant interaction with certain members of Klal Yisrael? So says Rashi, "Now I know, I wasn't sure, machatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos." So he goes, "Nirdim bavospar." I didn't know, what did Klal Yisrael do that made him deserving of such harsh punishment? I really wasn't sure what was their sin. But now I know. Aval roa ani shehem ru'uyim l'klach. Klai Yisrael deserved to be Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael was incredibly low when they were in Mitzrayim. The Psukim in Sefer Yechezkel, source number 2 on the sheet, are very well known. As far as references them, as I've done in Pesach Torah. What was Klai Yisrael like in Mitzrayim? What was Klai Yisrael like? So some of us know Midrashim, how Klai Yisrael, Shloshinu Eshimam, Shloshinu es l'shonam, Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, they stayed separate, they didn't change their names, didn't change their language, and in a certain sense that Medrash is true for many, many Bali Machshava. But the Pasha Pshat in Sefer Yechezkel, Klal Yisrael were Ovdei Avodah Zarah when they were in Mitzrayim. And as the Sfarno points out, Ru'uyim l'kach, why is Klal Yisrael, why is there a Shibud in Mitzrayim? Because they deserved to be in Mitzrayim. Because it was something that was warranted for who they are and where they were at. If that's true, what now we have to figure out, which is going to be so critically important, is what's behind Yitzias Mitzrayim. If they were so low that they deserved to be here, so what was the change? Was the change that suddenly they became worthy? Suddenly they did tshuva? Was the change that even though they weren't worthy, their bonus olam still took them out? As we know from certain Sifrei Kabbalah, we didn't want to keep Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim any longer because there was a fear they'd be lost forever. And part of what was happening was, you got to get them out now, even though maybe they don't deserve it. In which case, maybe Yitzias Mitzrayim is the ultimate statement of chesed from the Ribono Shel Olam. Undeserved grace. But the first mehalcha was a sin, and Klal Yisrael themselves sinned. There are other mehalchim that understand that Klal Yisrael sinned. Learn the Gemara, the Dharma, Daf Amid Beis there. But the Ramban very famously puts the sin on someone else. The Ramban writes in his Perush Al Torah, Bereishis, Yud Beis, Yud. The Ramban writes, Vida, Ki Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, there's a famine. Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. And there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And Avram Avinu goes down with his wife. He goes down to Mitzrayim. And for many Rishonim, that's totally justified. Avraham Avinu, you can't stay in Mitzrayim. You can't stay in Eretz Yisrael. There's a famine there. What are you going to eat? How are you going to do it? So many Rishonim understand. Avraham Avinu says, "In somchin al hanes, I have to engage in ishtadlus. I have to be responsible. So I go down to Mitzrayim." But the Ramban says not at all. Avraham Avinu chata chikdola. It's a tremendous sin. Avraham Avinu should not go down to Mitzrayim. And says the Ramban the following. Kelokim b'rabi v'tenim imaves. V'almaisa hazeh nigzer al zaru ha-gols b'eret Mitzrayim b'yat paro. V'makam ha-mishpat shama ha-rasha b'chet. Now what happened? Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim when he shouldn't have. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to punish your descendants. I'm going to punish your descendants. That you went to Mitzrayim when you shouldn't have gone to Mitzrayim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send your descendant down to Mitzrayim. I'm going to keep them there against their will. I'm going to keep them there against their will. But the first Mahalach, again, we deserved it. We deserved it. Now, the chiddush of the Ramban is a wild chiddush in the world of Machshava on two levels. First of all, a couple. Number one, the Ramban's critiquing Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu going down was a tremendous sin. Many of us may be familiar with the fact that different Mefarshim relate to the Avos, relate to Moshe Rabbeinu in different ways. How much you critique, they sinned, didn't sin, questions like that. Number two, what else is the Ramban assuming? The Ramban's doing two additional things. Number one, that children can be punished for the chatam of their parents. That Avraham Avinu messed up. The first Mahal, they messed up, they get punished. This Mahal, they didn't mess up. Avraham Avinu messed up, and they're going to get punished anyway. And, as Yekes Yitzchak points out, verse number six, that this is called, like, a fair consequence. This is called a fair consequence. Really? Even if we grant the fact that Avraham Avinu sinned, and even if we're comfortable with the fact that we are going to be punished because of what Avraham Avinu did, is this not just too intense? Is it not too much? I remember when I was in a senior in high school, there's a teacher that wanted to set a certain tone. It was an AP class, and there was one guy like 2 minutes into the first class, turned to the guy next to him and a comment he said to the guy next to him. And the teacher looked at him and he said, "Please leave the room and don't come back. You are not appropriate to be in this class at all the entire year. Go to the office and sign up for a different class. You can't be an AP," whatever it was. And the room is like frozen. No one's saying he should have spoken to the guy next to him. No one's saying on some level he wasn't responsible. But is that really an appropriate consequence? Like, you walk in, you're out for the rest of the year. Done. So he wasn't really out for the rest of the year. He came back a day or two later. Okay, but at the time you don't know that. And there's some questions. Is it a proportional response? The world is talking about that. Is it a proportional response? Is it something which was really just... But the first Mahalach, the Gullahs, was all one that was essentially predicated on him. Now, many of us know that same question is going to come up into why are we in Gullahs nowadays? Primary reason, l'chora, why we are in Gullahs nowadays is because we sin. Chorban Bayis Rishon, Chorban Bayis Sheni, Gemara Neumann Daf Tes, Sinaschina, Verzara Gerai, Shvichas Damim, Gemara Nedar, Masul Abrech Vator Tchila, Yerushalmi that wasn't rebuilt in our generation, means on some of them that we're responsible also. All the Mamre Chazal that we hear Tisha B'Av time, that in a certain sense, the first Mahalach in Gullahs is that we're there because of a punishment. Doesn't make you feel so great. It's not so inspiring. Okay. So why does Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim? Because either we no longer deserve punishment, or anyway, because Baruch Hu wanted to help us out. For many, many Bali Machshava, though, that's not really what's behind Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not what's behind Yetzias Mitzrayim. And for many Bali Machshava, the Shibud in Mitzrayim, here's the shift, is part of a process, is part of an unfolding of history that is going to be critically, critically important. Yetzias Mitzrayim, in many ways, is a setup. It's not, we did not deserve what happened. Klal Yisrael did not deserve what happened. Avraham Avinu's Chatayim couldn't trigger this, certainly to this extent. Klal Yisrael may not have been as ideal in Mitzrayim, but they did not deserve the harsh kind of punishment. There's something else going on. What's behind Gullahs and behind Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ribbono Shalom had a little bit of a different agenda. There was something else that we were attempting to do. Let's develop a bunch of different ideas here, and then we'll appreciate a little bit more the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sifri in Dvarim, source number 7, Minayinat to Omer. It's a wild medrash in a certain sense, but so pashut. So Yardu Avoseinu Mitzrayim. Says the Medrash, what's going on with all these Mitzrayim? There's one primary goal. There's a God. And God created the world. And part of what Ribbono Shel Olam wants is Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam. That God doesn't want there to be Chilul, the way someone explained Chilul. Chilul is like a Chalal, an emptiness. That God doesn't want a world that has Chilul Hashem. God doesn't want a world which is empty of the Ribbono Shel Olam. God's not interested in creating a world where no one thinks about the Ribbono Shel Olam, where no one thinks about godly things. God doesn't want a world where people are behaving the way that they are. And in a certain sense, says the Medrash, that part of what was going on with the whole Sheba Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is all about Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam. It's all, that's what it is. So now, could you make the following comment? But why on my back? I understand that you want to engage in Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam, but why does Klal Yisrael have to suffer in order for that Kiddush Hashem to come here? And here we get something which is actually a little bit intriguing. Part of being a member of Klal Yisrael, I would just note, part of being a member of Klal Yisrael is knowing sometimes that it is on my back. Part of being a member of Klal Yisrael is knowing that we are the ones through whom the Ribbono Shel Olam will be Mekadesh Shmo Ba'olam. That's what it is. Tas Tam Kiddush Hashem, it's Kiddush Hashem Ayidei Klal Yisrael. That we're Mitzrayim and we're going to come out. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want things to be publicized. If you think about it in a certain sense, it is a bit of a shift. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam's involvement in this world? Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, what's God's involvement in this world? A lot of it is so much of it's behind the scenes. Some of it's Purim like. HaMelech really is Reference Hashem. And so much of it is B'nai Yisrael ends up in Mitzrayim, as Yosef said in Parshas Vayechi, B'nai Yisrael ends up in Mitzrayim, but it's structured in a way that it looks like the brothers just sold him, it looks like it was all people in control. And the brothers are pulling strings from behind the scenes. Pulling strings on some level from behind the scenes. And part of that was behind the scenes. And the shift, Yetzias Mitzrayim, God is not behind the scenes in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is totally out there. Makos, all these things. Now, why does slavery have to be for so long? Why have to be in that kind of a way? So those are intriguing questions. On some level, they highlight the degree of Kiddush Hashem. When you people who are enslaved for generations who could be brought out. But that's the Mahalach of the Sifri. Mahalach of the Sifri. We're going to develop three more Mahalachim, each of which I think continues to be very intriguing. The Alshech in source number 8. The Alshech HaKadosh, one of the great Mefarshim, Torah, Tzfas in the world of 16th century Tzfas. The Alshech has the following insight. I think this is true. Many great sports teams, you probably find this less in professional sports, you certainly find this in college, and you certainly find this in a whole lot of movies, have their like incredibly intense training camp before the season sort of really, really picks up. That part of what they have is this like crazy intense stretch of not that much sleep, of tons and tons of work, in which they are getting ready for the season. This really, really intense. You know, week, we're going to go away from where we normally practice, and we're going to be all in for a period of a week. That you have teams that have it. These really, really intense practices before you really get there. What's the purpose of that? So some of that has to do with, it's about trying, when you want to achieve perfection sometimes, so you go through certain experiences that cleanse you. You go through certain experiences that break away certain things that would hold you back from really being as great. That a certain kind of very intense commitment, a certain kind, I'm like de-Kabbalahizing the Alshech a little bit, but some of like the things that in general are just hard, and a certain lack of toughness, and a certain lack of purity, and a certain lack of challenge, and then you're going to fight for that week. When you leave that week, you know you're in a totally different place. When you leave that week, you are purified in a certain sense. And part of what being in Mitzrayim was supposed to do was to take Klal Yisrael, who always had this inner point of Kedusha. Klal Yisrael that was destined to be really great, but we actually weren't always as great as we were. We weren't as great as we could possibly be. And part of being there, was, by a kesef tzar getz Mitzrayim, the whole goal of Mitzrayim was let's get Klal Yisrael, let's have them be incredibly, incredibly pure. Not everyone's going to make it out. Choshech, makas choshech, four-fifths aren't going to make it out. Not everyone's going to be, but whoever leaves, whoever's standing at the end of that training camp, they will be on the team and they will be great. It's the same thing with Klal Yisrael. The people who make it through Mitzrayim, the people who make it through, who go through that experience and they are good, that is Klal Yisrael. Those are the ones that are now ready for Matan Torah. Those are the ones that are now ready to build a nation that is supposed to transform the world. That's what they're really there. That's what they're really do. To get rid of all the zuamah, get rid of all the external filth, all the challenges, let's go and be pure. So why is it done to Klal Yisrael? It's not a punishment. If you look at it from the outside in a certain sense, you know, again, go back to that. I'm sure many of us have individual movies in mind. Go back to that for a second. A week of training camp. And that week of training camp, before the season really starts, where they're practicing three times a day in all of their football gear, and they're up early in the morning running, late at night running. If you would look at that from the outside, all you would say is, here are a whole lot of people that are being punished. A whole lot of people that are just being like totally, you know, they must have really messed up if they're working that many hours a day. What kind of prison or work camp is this? That many hours a day, that's how they're really working. But, if you understand what's actually happening, you say, wow, this is a coach. This is an experience where we're trying to make people really great. This is a way of clarifying who are the ones who can really last. Who are the ones that are really ready for this? This is gonna make them peers. It's gonna put them in a better place. Now, obviously, the difference is between football training camps and Yetzirat Mitzrayim as far as the spiritual impact of it versus the physical. But part of what's going on here, says the Al-Sheikh, this is the way, being Mitzrayim is a way of making Klal Yisrael as pure as Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. So why do we remember? Why do we remember Yetzirat Mitzrayim? It's not that, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu take us out? Why is he taking us out? Because now we are sufficiently ready. Now we are sufficiently ready to become who we're supposed to be. And why are there so many mitzvahs focused on Zecher Yetzirat Mitzrayim, what goes on there? Because this is an experience that was transformative for who we are. And what's Pesach night in a certain sense about? Pesach night is reliving that experience where you go through something and now you become pure. It's reminding ourselves of what we once went through to become who we are, of removing certain kind of filth and being very, very pure. And for the Al-Sheikh, that's Yetzirat Mitzrayim. That's what it's really, really all about. There is an additional mahalach. Again, a lot of today is just trying to develop general mahalachim. First of all, I think it happens to be it's very important. I think it'll also help us in these parshios. But another mahalach. This I did not know. This is from the website. Nechama Leibowitz. In a Yunim Chadashim to Sefer Shmos. I happen to think Rabbi Sachs, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Sachs, has, I believe he speaks about this a little bit, as do some others. Maybe something else that we gain in Yetzirat Mitzrayim. Not that it was all about this, but you think if you look at a lot of psukim, you find something a little bit different, and I think it's very, very intriguing. Torah relies a lot on our having been avadim in Mitzrayim. We saw it last week a little bit. The Torah relies a lot on what happens here in Shmos, Vayera, Bo. The Torah relies a lot on what happened here in Mitzrayim. To describe, to when it comes to our interaction with others, the world is filled with people who are strangers. The world is filled with people who are struggling a little bit. The world is filled with people who are struggling in a certain sense and who have difficulties. People who are poor, people who are amanas, yisomim. The world is very difficult. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be people who are compassionate. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be people who are sensitive. Now, how do you become, I'm not sure I'm going to need it again, you know? What do you call it? It's my fingers now, you know? We're getting there. I haven't had part of anything in a long time. That part of what happened was as follows. It was educational. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Klal Yisrael. Part of the mission of Klal Yisrael is that we are going to be people, not just who are purer and have more relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to be a group that is unfathomably compassionate and sensitive. We're going to be a group that is going to, at its core, take care of the most vulnerable elements of society. We are, at its core, going to be people. As I believe Rav Hirsch points out, the first thing after our Sefer Dibros, the first mitzvah in Parshas Mishpatim, is Eved Ivri. And the way we treat Eved Ivri is nothing like a slave. He's much more like a poel. He's much more like a worker. And we take care of him. The Yerushalmi says, if you have one pillow, the Eved Ivri gets your pillow. Because, as Rav Hirsch, I believe, explains, one of the ways that you know that the quality of any society is how they treat the most vulnerable members of that society. How do you treat those who are suffering most? And what the Ribbono Shel Olam understands is that one of the greatest motivators to treat others well is if you've been there also. Is if you've been there also, so then you know it's such a great motivator. It changed the way you look at things. I remember I was tearing at this moment when I was learning in a kol in NYU. They brought in once, there was a member of the board of REITs, of the yeshiva there, who gives thousands of dollars to tzedakah, to REITs. And he was speaking. He had just, I think, dedicated, I forget what he had dedicated, a certain kol of the yeshiva, and he was speaking for a second. He said, I want to be very open and honest about why I try my best to help out yeshiva whenever I can. And he said the following, and I remember it was very powerful. He said, when I was in Smicha, my family Pashut had no money. My family had no money. And the only reason why I was able to go to college, because I was able to go for Smicha, he now does not work at Smicha, hence he is donating, you know, in the good seven digits. He said, a person can do fine in the world of Chinuch, you really can. Are you going through writing seven-figure checks so comfortably? I'm somewhat suspect. So he said, I really just view this as my achrayus in a certain sense. That when I wasn't able to do it, there were people that wrote checks for me. And if I have the ability to write checks for other people, so then other people who are going to be struggling, who want to be able to go to college and can't go to college, people that want to be able to learn and go into Rabbanit, but they can't because they can't afford it financially. So isn't that my, if I could do that, so then it's just the simplest way for me to be makir tov to the people that allowed me to be where I am. It's nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. I know what it means, he said, to not be able to do what you want to do professionally, to not be able to study where you want to study for financial reasons. And what I want to try to do is make it easier for those that I can. Make it a little bit easier. In a certain sense, and you'll find that often, that sometimes many of the people who are big Bali Tzak, you know, can contribute to that more humble upbringing and the ability to understand and appreciate, you know, where it's from. History can at times be an incredible motivator. I had a certain experience and it was so helpful, and I understand what it means to be struggling, and I want to take care of those people also. And in a certain sense, that Chamalei would suggest is what Gullus Mitzrayim is all about. Klal Yisrael can never be the same afterwards. Klal Yisrael can never look at people suffering. They can never look at people who are being enslaved, and they can say, "Who cares? Not that big a deal. We went through it. We know what it's about, and therefore we've responded appropriately." Now, in order for this to be true, what's one of the reasons why we're taken out? We're taken out to live certain kinds of lives. We're taken out to be a certain kind of nation. So a nation that turns its eye to the suffering of others, that's not what we are supposed to remember from Mitzrayim. A nation that isn't engaged in improving and benefiting those around us, that says, you know, that's not something which is, that's not what we're about. I'll share with you an awesome maisa, if I have the time. I'll share with you a great maisa. I quoted recently Rafaim Shapiro from Miami when I was in, heard him speak when I was in 11th grade. He told over another maisa in that same talk that was unbelievable. There was I think this maisa so much, it's people don't often go from the Chama Labor to Sama Rebbe, but we will, because it's awesome. The maisa is as follows. There was a chassid, a Samar chassid, who came to the Rebbe and said the following. He had been, I don't know if he was divorced, his wife passed away, and he said to the Rebbe, I heard about a shidduch of a woman in L.A., whose husband was nifter, and there's like 10, and she has 10 children, 10 yisomim, and I want to know, Rebbe, do you think it's worthwhile? Should I go for the shidduch or not? So Samar Rebbe said, Divrei Yol, I think, Samar Rebbe said, I don't know the woman in L.A. Do people know this maisa or no? I don't think it's famous, it's good. Samar Rebbe said, I don't know the woman in L.A. Is it okay if I'll call a chassid of mine in L.A., and I'll find out from the chassid in L.A. about this woman in the community, and I'll get back to you about whether it's an appropriate shidduch or not an appropriate shidduch. The Rebbe calls this chassid in L.A., and he says, I got a question about a shidduch about this woman, and I'm wondering if you could tell me about her. Chassid says, I'll be honest, I'm not familiar, I don't know who this woman is. But if the Rebbe gives me a day, I'll do everything I can to find out everything I can about this woman. You know, one day, but I'm sorry, I happen to not know her. Silence on the phone. After about 10 of the longest seconds of this chassid's life, the Rebbe yells into the phone, "You're not my chassid." Now, if you're a Satmar chassid, I don't know if we fully appreciate what that means. If you're a Satmar chassid, the Rebbe was not a weak person. And for him to forget, "You're not my chassid," in the middle of the phone, was incredibly pause. Rebbe, what did I do? I said, I'll help out. I said, I'll look into it. And the Rebbe said, I don't believe that any chassid of mine could live in a community with an almana, 10 yisomim, and not know her. I can't imagine you could live in a community, or in our community, there's a woman like that, and you not know at least the basics of her situation. Hayitachin, how could it be? And in a certain sense, part of why we're taken out of Mitzrayim, is to never make that mistake. It's to always be aware of the suffering of others, to take care of the suffering of others, and to alleviate that pain. And that's part of what Yitzhak Mitzrayim gave us. We know what it means to be in servitude. We know what it means to be in Mitzrayim. And what are we going to be able to do to make sure you're not my chassid? How can it be that you could be somewhere and someone is... Now, are there people that hide things? People that hide things? For sure there are people who hide things. I remember once a mother of a guy in the shir said to me, like, my son is going through X. Like, how come no one reached out about it? I was thinking, like, well, your son never told me, and I've tried to check in, and sometimes people can hide things in a certain sense, but it could be, mother was still right, we should have known. I mean, you shouldn't be able to pick up on it. There's MS there. And even if someone isn't as verbally expressive about it, we should still be sensitive enough to pick up a little bit. And if we have roommates and chavrusas and people in yeshiva that we see, and they're going through a difficult time, that part of the question is, you know, are you my chas or you're not my chas, as some rabbi would say. Did you get Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Do we remember where we came from, or do we not? And for Nechama Leibowitz, it's a really a critical component of what this is really all about. Let's speak of what we spoke about thus far. We spoke about mostly the following. Why is there Yetzias Mitzrayim? What is really going on? Why are we there? And what's the purpose of being taken out? What's going on in these parshios? And this will all give us much more insight into why the Ribbono Shel Olam introduces himself, Anochi Melkecha, Asher Yetzei Sicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, why there are mitzvahs that are Zeicher Li Mitzrayim. Religious life is supposed to have a whole lot of Zeicher Li Yetzias Mitzrayim. A whole lot of it. Pesach is all about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sfiras HaOmer is tied to the process also. And day-to-day Zeicher, we do it all the time. L'man Tisku, in Kriya Shema we're speaking about it. So what is it about Mitzrayim? Why were we there and what's going on? Mahalach number one, we were there because of an Onesh. We were there for some sort of a punishment. If it was in the world of the Ramban, the punishment of Avmavinu, Avinu Lev Hashem, that's how it's often spelled. That's how the Ramban's going to say it. If it's because Bnei Yisrael themselves were deserving of it, that's the Sfarno, that's the Rashi and Parsha Shmos. Or, alternatively, are we really there for some other kind of positive purpose? We're there for some, it's not that we deserve to be. We're part of history, and part of history means we are supposed to be destined for something. One mahalach of the Sifri, it's all about Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam. We are just the conduits, the people through whom God sanctifies His name. We're there. It means sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's wonderful, but we are the people through whom. Alternatively, in many ways, it was chinuchi. It was educational. It was geared towards producing a Klal Yisrael that would be able to achieve the mission that Klal Yisrael and only Klal Yisrael would be able to achieve. For the Alshech, that has to do with the training camp mashal, making sure that we are pure enough and ready and holy enough to fulfill the mission of Klal Yisrael. And the last idea from the Nechama Leibowitz, are we sufficiently sensitive enough now? Are we compassionate enough that part of what Am HaNivchar may mean for many is not we are more special, good, but we are more special in that we have a mission to improve a world around us. We have values that impact the way we treat the most vulnerable elements of our society. And in many ways, that's what we're about. Different mahalchim. There is, I'm trying to think. Maybe we'll speak next week about a mahalach that comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Reb Tzadok. We'll speak next week about Tzvas Emes. What I want to point out is one additional piece. It's certainly intriguing that there's so many different approaches, so many different opinions on why we were in Mitzrayim in the first place, and Chumash never really tells us explicitly why. Chumash never explicitly says it's because we sin. Chumash never explicitly says it's because we sin. It may say a little bit, but never as before. These parshiyos, it's to make us more sensitive and more compassionate. Never that it's about purifying us. In many ways, what's really behind Yetzias Mitzrayim is somewhat hidden. It's really not there. And the question that's intriguing is the question of why. Why not be explicit in Chumash what the purpose of this is? Why not be mefurash in Chumash what's really going on. Why does the text tell us explicitly? It tells us about the tells a whole lot about Moshe Rabbeinu becoming the monarch of Klal Yisrael, a whole lot about what Moshe has to do with Mitzrayim to get us out, a whole lot about the details of the Eser Makos. But why not tell us just why we're there and what the purpose really, really is? Why not be as mefurish? Why so many different opinions? I believe the answer is fairly simple. I believe the answer is Chumash doesn't tell us clearly which of these reasons it is, because it is in all likelihood a great combination of all of them. There's an excellent chance a whole lot of these explanations, they are not mutually exclusive at all. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, and part of what Yetzias Mitzrayim did was it was a form of Kiddush Hashem. It may have been that Klal Yisrael was deserving of it. It may have been also what helped us become into the nation that we became, to become pure and holier, to have us be more sensitive. That it was, in many ways, a bunch of these ideas. And therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim is so chashuv, and Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important, because there are so many fundamental ideas that come from it. It's the beginning of the founding of Klal Yisrael. It's about Hashem's chesed to take us out, even though we may not be deserving. It's about our mission to be sensitive and compassionate. It's about our mission to be the conduits, to be the people through whom the Ribbono Shel is Mekadesh Shem Hashem Ba'olam. These are incredibly, incredibly fundamental ideas. And in many ways, I think if we're sensitive to them, if we're aware of them, if we're doing them very, very, we'll be able to appreciate these parshas much better, and to appreciate so many sugyas in the world of Machshava that are tied to the Mitzrayim, of what it is actually really all about. Shkoyach, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I want to say for the record,